Lakes Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster, my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Wednesday, the 25th of June, halfway through the week. I'm Christian Jones, and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, dentists could soon be paid more to take on NHS work in a bid to ease the growing backlog. Attempts to stall and give greater scrutiny to the proposed 20-mile-per-hour rollout have been rebutted by the Infrastructure Minister. And just weeks after a crash at the TT, a sidecar team have announced they'll be back for the Southern 100. All those stories and more, do get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Chanel Suku for the latest news headlines. Fastamai, Chanel.
Fastamai. Dentists on the Isle of Man could soon be paid more for NHS work after concerns their rates have fallen way behind those in the UK. Manx Care's chief executive says discussions are ongoing to tackle waiting lists, which stood at over 6,200 last month.
It really does need an awful lot of reform. We recognise it's a real source of contention for the population.
The Enterprise Minister insists the island's minimum wage is completely separate from the minimum salary for migrant workers. Tim Johnston says the two are in no way linked.
We will set our minimum salary rate based on the policy we decide on the island, which is right for our economy.
And former Isle of Man tennis player Billy Harris is through to the quarterfinals of this year's Eastbourne Open. He's beaten Italian qualifier Mattia Bellucci in straight sets in just under 90 minutes this afternoon. In international news, a man's been found guilty of murdering a 14-year-old boy on his way to school with a samurai sword. Marcus Monzo was in a cannabis-induced psychosis when he attacked Daniel Anjorin in northeast London last April and wounded several other people. Sakir Starmer says he'll fight from the front over welfare reforms. The UK Prime Minister insists a Commons vote will go ahead next Tuesday, despite 120 Labour MPs trying to block the legislation. And Wet have announced an intimate acoustic tour along with a new album. The dates are set for May next year and tickets go on sale on the 11th of July. Those are your headlines. News at 6.
Gurumaya, thank you very much for that, Chanel. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Remaining dry for the rest of today, mostly cloudy, light to moderate southerly winds freshening from the southwest this evening. The cloud then thickening tonight ahead of an area of rain and drizzle arriving overnight. Mainly moderate south or southwest wind, a minimum temperature of 13 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bigode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bigode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five, and when was your last dentist appointment? Do you even have an NHS dentist? If not, well, you're one of more than 6,000 people currently on the waiting list to register with one. But Manx Care says it hopes to start incentivising dentists to take on more NHS work in a bid to ease the backlog. Chief Executive Teresa Cope says payment rates could soon increase after concerns they've fallen well behind those in the UK.
The demand is incredibly high, and it's like the rest of healthcare. The number of opportunities, the interventions, the treatments is much greater. And so keeping pace with that demand, and obviously, you know, we have a model where we have contracted dentists, and then we have our community dental service, which supports some of the emergency work and some of the more specialist work. But it really does need an awful lot of reform. We recognise it's a real source of contention for the population. We've really talked about what eligibility should look like, what services we should have. But I do think we've fallen out of step with the payment system for our contracted dentists who are businesses. And we must make it financially attractive for them to be able to do NHS work alongside their private work. And so we have made that decision to offer new contracts and a new payment rate in the hope that our contracted dentists on Ireland will be able to pick up some more NHS work, and it's attractive for them to do so.
Obviously, as you say, the dentists are businesses.
They are.
They're
yes.
businesses, and that's one thing to bear in mind. And is it the UDA system, so units of dental activity that'll be going out?
They are businesses, and there is a substantial private market. So dentists, don't have to do NHS work. I mean, they can be entirely able to sustain their business on purely private work. And so that's why we have to make sure the unit of dental activity and the payment for that is worth their while to do it. And we know from talking to our contracted dentists, it was meaning that they were not able to make it cost effective. So that's why they were not committing to as much NHS activity as what they perhaps would like.
Chief Executive of Manx Care, Theresa Cope, speaking to Andy Wint there. And if you want to hear more from her, Man in Line is available as a podcast over at manxradio.com. Well, it's approaching 7 minutes past five. Let's turn our attention to the ongoing situation in Israel and Gaza, because in the last half hour, the Chief Minister has issued a response to the Isle of Man Green Party after it called on him to make a statement regarding the conflict in Gaza. Lewis Foster joins me now in the studio. Fastamai, Lewis, what is the background on this?
Fastamai, Christian, yes. Well, back in June, on the 13th of June, the Green Party published an open letter citing how the Chief Minister of Jersey, back in May, made a statement that he was absolutely appalled and distressed at the tragic circumstances that continue to unfold in Gaza. Similarly, it points to Ireland's Taoiseach Micheál Martin stating that Israel's war had lost any moral compass in terms of its unacceptable impact on the civilian population and on children. This, the Green Party said, was grounds for Alfred Cannon to step forward and issue his own statement decrying the death and destruction in Gaza and calling for Israel to comply with the order of the International Court of Justice. It also asked Mr. Cannon to write to the Ministry for Justice of the UK government considering the rule of law duty and express the Isle of Man's concerns.
And we haven't heard anything until now.
No, but 2 weeks on, the Chief Minister has now replied with a letter of his own. In a written response published today, he says he does not accept that there has been any failure on part of the island's authorities to support constitutional principle of the rule of law, which is a matter he and the Council of Ministers treat seriously. As you'll be aware, he says, as a Crown dependency, the Isle of Man does not formulate or execute foreign policy. So he says we have no diplomatic service to participate in international forums where disputes might be discussed and resolved, nor do we have armed forces to commit to areas of armed conflict or to undertake peacekeeping roles.
And has he given any indication as to his own position on this?
So in this letter, he's highlighted a Timwal debate in April last year in which members unanimously expressed condemnation of the Hamas attack on Israel, that's of the 7th of October 2023, as well as the killing of innocent civilians on both sides, and called upon Israel to conduct military operations in accordance with international law. He says he also entirely endorses a statement issued by the leaders of the UK, France and Canada in May on the situation in Gaza and the West Bank, opposing the expansion of Israeli military operations. He's also recalled how earlier this month the UK voted at the United Nations to support the UN's aims to end the suffering in Gaza, bring hostages home and move towards lasting peace. The UK joined partners in the UN to stress their wish that both Israel and Hamas need to agree to an immediate and unconditional ceasefire, that Hamas must immediately and unconditionally release the hostages, and that Israel, as the occupying power, must end its blocks on aid and ensure unhindered humanitarian access. And crucially, there must be an end to any actions that stand in the way of a two-state solution and the best chance for peace for the Israeli and Palestinian people. Well, Mr. Cannon says, naturally, I am deeply concerned at the tragic loss of life that has taken place on all sides in the region, and trust that the UK government will continue to work with the UN and its international partners to bring an end to the hostilities. He ends by saying he will forward a copy of his letter to the Ministry of Justice for information.
Lewis Foster, definitely one to be keeping an eye on. Thank you very much for that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The Education Minister has confirmed three degree courses at University College Isle of Man have been suspended. Daphne Kane says a decision was taken prior to the Easter break to no longer offer courses in creative practice, history and heritage, and health and social care. She told members why they've been withdrawn.
Every year, UCM monitors the application numbers for all courses and makes informed decisions about what can be offered. Significant time and effort is invested in reviewing all applications, and on this occasion, after careful consideration, the difficult decision was made to withdraw the History and Heritage degree course for 2025-26. The UCM senior leadership team uses a variety of metrics to determine the viability of any provision in order to make a timely decision whether to withdraw or continue a degree course. These include conversion rates, which is the comparison of the number of applications and the number of enrolments from previous years, progression rates from previous years, achievement rates from previous years, and the residential status of applicants. These metrics help to determine whether the learning experience and achievement potential of each course is of the highest possible quality. The number of applications received for the course is not a determining factor on its own.
Is the Minister aware that when these students who were prepared to go on this course were informed the course was no longer going ahead, although they'd been accepted provisionally onto the course in September, that the UCAS application period had already passed? So, and the support for these individuals was, you'll have to go off island. What does the Minister think of that?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the Honourable Member has any examples that she wants to pass the Department, we're happy to look at them. That's not my information. The UCM is very supportive and offers a wide range of courses that perhaps would be of interest to those students if they were not going to study their history and heritage. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Education, Sports and Culture Minister Daphne Kane speaking there. Well, are you affected or do you know someone that has been affected by those courses being suspended? Do feel free to get in touch with us. 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. 13 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update, and the Infrastructure Minister has rebutted two attempts to transfer the lead in the 20-mile-per-hour speed limits debate into other hands. In the House of Keys, Chris Thomas brought forward a motion attempting to make the Chief Minister responsible for the scheme. Meanwhile, Onken MHK Julie Edge sought to get the decision put back into Tynwald. Both of them failed. Minister Michelle Hayward says it's right she takes the lead.
The traffic orders final decision does rest with me as Minister. It's my responsibility. That's set out in the law and that's how it is. So the motion was to ask the Chief Minister to demand that I provide him with evidence and documentation as though I was withholding something. I'm clearly not withholding anything from the Council of Ministers. As everyone will know, because I've freely admitted it, the initial publication of a traffic order with a two-week consultation process was always going to be unfit for purpose. So the extended consultation that we are now going through, staged around the island in detail, with all the drop-in sessions, with all the visits to the local authorities, is entirely the right way to go. We wouldn't be able to do anything in future without some sort of consultation. We're here now, we've got the consultation up and running, and decision allows me to continue with that.
You are coming under enormous pressure, not just in here in the House of Keys and in Tynwald, but also from the general public.
There are some commentators I think haven't really understood what the consultation is about, haven't understood that the consultation is real and it's inviting people to give us their comments on our proposals. You have to consult on something. something. So you have to propose something to start with, which is what we did in May. We proposed the maps that have got the roads on that we think probably would be 20 miles an hour. And this is the process where you get to tell us which ones of those you disagree with. And I don't think anyone is completely in the no camp. If I challenge people who say no to me, they say, well, okay, but it's all right where we've got home zones already, or it's all right around schools, it's all right around nurseries, it's all right around routes to school. And they think, well, that's not a no then, is it? That's a qualified no. And I'm at the other end of the spectrum where I generally think it's a good idea, but there are some roads in those proposals that I've looked at, I've thought, that doesn't pass a scratch test with me. It feels like those roads should be able to take faster traffic safely. So I think there's a balance. I think we're all somewhere in the middle.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look at the roads to start. A few things to be mindful of if you're out and about travelling this evening. In Douglas, temporary lights on Peel Road between Belmont and Hill and Pull Rose Bridge, 24 hours a day for tree work. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Broadway near the Victoria Road turn, and that is for resurfacing work. In Santon, temporary lights on the new Castletown Road near Mount Murray. That's also for resurfacing work. Over in Castletown, though, temporary lights on Victoria Road. That's near the petrol station, and that's for bus stop improvement work. In Peel, temporary lights on the main road. That's the A1 near QE2 High School. 24 hours a day for gas work. And in Sulby, temporary lights on Sulby Bridge for work on the manholes. As far as that goes, there's nothing else to report. But if you do spot anything while you're out and about, ping us a text, as long as it's safe and legal to do so. You can text and WhatsApp to 166 177. Over at the Steam Packet, no changes to be aware of down there. The Mananan is set to be arriving in Liverpool in just under half an hour's time, and the Ben will be back in Douglas at just after 6:30. Over at the airport, though, everything looking good on the arrivals and departures boards. Nothing to report there.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Coming up, we have another winning weekend on Manx Radio, and this time we're giving you the chance to win a place at Stage Ed's Summer Stage School, worth £160. 5 days of singing, dancing and acting for anyone aged between 6 and 18. You'll explore songs from Hamilton, Matilda, Frozen, Heathers and more, with a performance for friends and family at the end of the week. To win, listen out right across the weekend, and as soon as you hear our special question, text your answer to 166 177 and make sure you're listening on Monday afternoon to find out if you're the lucky winner. Don't miss your chance to win this weekend with Stage Ed and Manx Radio.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
17 minutes past 5 on the 25th of June, and the Enterprise Minister insists the island's minimum wage is completely separate from the minimum salary for migrant workers. It's due to increase from £20,800 to just under £25,450 in October, but that's while plans to increase the minimum wage have been put on hold. Tim Johnston says the two are in no way linked.
Regulation states that the minimum wage rate per hour is statutory. The minimum salary paid to immigration workers is not. It's not statutory. That's a policy decision.
It is statutory.
It is ultimately a decision of policy. Just like in the United Kingdom, they've set their minimum salary rate now, I think, at about £38,000. That's a policy decision. We will set our minimum salary rate based on the policy we decide on the island, which is right for our economy. That is what's been explained, and that's what we'll do going forward. That is separate to the minimum wage, which is a statutory minimum rate per hour, which all workers should be paid.
So just for the avoidance of doubt, it's the government's position that the minimum worker threshold is not a statutory requirement. It is not a statutory legal requirement on the Isle of Man. That is just government policy. It is not statutory. I just want to get that confirmed, because it seems to me the minister doesn't actually have a clue what he's talking about.
Ooh, withdrawal.
I object to that comment. The minimum salary payment through immigration is a policy decision. It reflects the fact that an individual coming to work in the Isle of Man as an immigrant does not have the flexibility to be able to move jobs, does not have access to support, and that figure historically has always been more than the minimum wage. Back in 2018, the figure was £20,800 at a time when the minimum wage was £15,500. All that's happened has been recognised. That figure should have been increased and hadn't been, and it has now been brought up to what is the equivalent now of the living wage. That is all that's happened, and as we go forward, once the minimum wage going forward is agreed, as part of the wider incentive and disincentive discussions around immigration, the minimum salary level for immigration workers will be decided against that policy.
Mr. Thomas.
You know, for the avoidance of doubt, can the Minister confirm that he acknowledges that the worker migrant salary is set in law?
Yes, it is set in law, but as I say, the question was, it is not a statutory minimum payment. That is the point I was making, that the minimum wage is a statutory minimum payment that all workers must be paid, whether they are a local Isle of Man worker or whether they're coming through immigration. The hourly rate per hour is a statutory minimum. That is the point I was making.
Enterprise Minister Tim Johnston taking questions in the House of Keys from earlier this week. What are your thoughts on that? 166 177 studio at manxradio.com. A scout group in the north of the island is facing closure if it doesn't get volunteers to step forward in the coming weeks. New team members are being urgently sought for Ramsey and Balaf, with the latter said to be in dire need of support. This weekend, the organisation held its annual camp with 179 cubs and scouts and 20 explorers at the Mountain View Innovation Centre. Lead volunteer Will Nelson told Chanel Suku, "Scouting is for everyone," adding that is as a volunteer, you'll gain new skills and help young people build confidence.
We've got the Balaf Scout group, which is desperately short of volunteers. And if we're honest, is looking at closure if we don't manage to get some volunteers who step forward in the next few weeks. And Ramsey are also short of volunteers as well. So we're really looking forward for any adults at all that would like to just give it a go and just step forward. Obviously, it'd be amazing if we can get a full new team in there. But we've got other volunteers on the island who said they'll help support. We obviously wouldn't just put a group of new volunteers in and say crack on. We'll give as much support, as much training as people want, but we do need people to step forward to keep the group viable and running in the future.
I understand, Will, that there's a four-week program running at the moment for people who may be interested and want to know what it's like to be a scout leader.
Yeah, so we're setting up over the next 4 weeks or so a system where if people just want to come along as a volunteer, come and see what it's all about, come along to a meeting or two, have a chat, find out more, so that they can make a really good informed decision about whether it's something for them. And there's also lots of other positions, so things like a group treasurer is always useful. People who've got that background, that knowledge in legal aspects, people who've got a background in finance can help groups with their finance. Or it may be somebody who say, actually, I'd love to help with adventurous activities. I'll come and help run some kayaking sessions for you, or I'll come and help with some mountain biking or some hill walking. Obviously, people need, for some of those sessions, people need qualifications, but we can help people get them. So over the next 4 weeks, we're saying, if you want to give it a try, get in touch and we can sort out a group where you can kind of do a bit of a trial and make that really informed decision. It doesn't matter how much time you've got to commit. That's always enough. So if it's somebody who says, I can only commit to an hour a month, brilliant. Somebody who says, I can commit 2 hours a week, amazing.
Lead volunteer Will Nelson speaking to Chanel Suku there. And if you are interested in volunteering, head on over to manxradio.com. All the contact details can be found there. Now, just a few weeks after a crash at this year's Isle of Man TT, sidecar team Peter Founds and Jevon Walmsley have confirmed they'll be back on island for next month's Southern 100 Rose Races. The pairing have issued an update on social media confirming their latest plans and thanking people for their support, in which thousands of pounds have been donated to help them out.
Firstly, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone for their overwhelming support and the generosity and all the well wishes we've had. You know, it's been overwhelming.
Hi everyone, it's Jevon here. Just wanted to come on and say thank you very much for all the donations on GoFundMe. It's going to be a massive help to our bike for next year. Update on me, luckily I got away from the crash with minor injuries, just cut some bruises. I'm pretty much healed up now. Other than that, I'm all good.
It's been about 3 weeks since our incident. Both myself and Jeff are doing really well. I don't feel I've had a chance yet, but I'd like to thank all the support staff at the TT, the Orange Army, paramedics. I think most of you probably already know, because a certain brother let that slip on his commentary duties, but what he mentioned is true. We will be riding the Alan Founds machine for the Southern 100. Myself and Jevon, we're both fit enough, and we're raring to go to have a go on Al's bike for the Southern 100. So it's Yamaha power for the Southern, which is exciting for myself as well. And secondly, the second big announcement is further to all the huge generosity we've had on our GoFundMe page. A huge, huge thank you to Boris and Bonnie at Marion Motorsport, who stepped in and helped us purchase a new LCR chassis from the Perolats in France. I think it's number one chassis that they've turned out, so we're really excited to be getting that in the next couple of weeks. And of course, with the money that's been raised for the GoFundMe page, I'm fairly confident we can at least now start to put together a competitive package. A huge thanks to everybody on the GoFundMe page for helping us out. We're not there yet. We've got a lot of hard work to do, but I'm confident we're going to put a fast, competitive machine together and we'll all bounce back.
Peter Vowns and Jevon Walmsley speaking there ahead of their return to the Isle of Man for the Southern 100 road races. Well, let's stay on the topic of sports. We'll say hello to sports editor Rob Pritchard. Faster mind,
Christian. Well, to start us off tonight, former Isle of Man tennis player Billy Harris is through to the quarterfinals of this year's Eastbourne Open. Harris, whose previous clubs include Albany and Castletown, beat Italian qualifier Mattia Bellucci in straight sets 6-3, 6-4 in just under 90 minutes this afternoon. As a result, Harris will face French four seed Ugo Humbert in the last eight stage after Humbert overcame Italy's Lorenzo Sonego in straight sets earlier today. Well, currently at 142nd in the ATP World Rankings, Harris reached the semi-finals of this same competition 12 months ago. Elsewhere in tennis, it's day four of the 2025 International Island Tennis Tournament at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club. The event, running from the 22nd to the 27th of June, is seeing the Isle of Man play teams from Jersey, the Faroe Islands and Cayman Islands in a series of competitions. Well, today it's the quarterfinals of the respective singles and doubles events that have taken the spotlight. Among the results in the men's singles this morning, top seed Louis Keenan won his tie in straight sets, and he'll be joined in the last four by third seed Franco Oesterhuizen, as well as Nerius Grecevicius and Jonathan Lefevre. In the women's singles, the first and third seeds, Charlotte Clark and Sarah Long, both of the Isle of Man, they made it through. However, second seed Ava Hurst was knocked out by Abby Anderson. However, elsewhere, Clark and Long have exited the women's doubles, with the number one seed suffering defeat to Emily Frost and Sonia Smith in straight sets. Matches in the mixed doubles and the consolation ties in the individual competitions are taking place right now. And former Isle of Man rugby union player Bevan Rodd has booked his place on England's latest tour next month. Rodd is one of 36 players confirmed to be part of Steve Borthwick's national side, heading out on a tour of Argentina and the USA from the 5th to the 19th of July. England's campaign will start with a two-test series against Argentina, with the first fixture on Saturday, the 5th of July in La Plata. The second meeting of the two nations will be a week later on Saturday, the 12th of July in San Juan province. The tour then concludes with a clash against the USA at Audi Field in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, the 19th of July.
Fabulous. Thank you very much for that, Rob. Are you looking forward to Southern 100?
Absolutely.
Do you tend to get more of a sunburn during TT or Southern 100?
I'd probably say Southern 100. That scaffolding's quite exposed. Cap or and or hat is definitely
necessary.
There are
some famous pictures, actually, which go around on social media. I'll try and make sure I leak one later, of you looking very much like a tangerine at one of them.
Absolutely, that has happened. I can't deny that.
So it's definitely a case of factor 50 for you then.
100%.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. That's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Chanel Suku. Howard Kane is up next with Spotlight. Chris Kinley straight after that with Greatest Hits. Andy Wint in the hot seat from 9. And then, of course, Dave Moore with After Hours from 10, taking you through till midnight. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. And so until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.